You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football at large for sportingnews.com. If you come to SN right now, we have all the fallout articles from the NFL's divisional playoff weekend, and you can also find my content on my Twitter page, Vinny Iron, on Facebook, as well as Vinny Iyer. Also, make sure you're following the Locked On NFL Network. I'm proud to be a part of that and proud to be bringing you now Matchup Tuesday. We took Monday off with the holiday there with Martin Luther King Day. We wanted to digest where we're going with these games going forward. And four very solid games for the most part. One was a blowout, but a lot of exciting action regardless this weekend through the four games on Saturday and Sunday. So we only have three more games left to have some fantasy football interest this year in our daily situation. So we'll have to get into those later in the week, first with the championship games. But we got to look back to know what's coming up here, see what takeaways there are from this weekend. And we got to start from the Falcons-Eagles game on Saturday. This was the opener on Saturday. 15-10 is the final. The Eagles hold on and win here. The Falcons had a chance there, four downs, to put the ball in the end zone and win the game late. Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, that connection didn't work. So here we are, the Eagles move on and play on. Now, Nick Foles, not much to see fantasy-wise. He was a better reality quarterback in terms of protecting the ball and all that. 246 yards there, but no touchdowns, no interceptions. Minus two rushing yards, so nothing at all for Foles in this one in terms of a fantasy production. He was pretty much a good caretaker in this one. And now you look around for the Eagles as well. They only had one touchdown, and that went to LeGarrette Blount. So just really disappointing all around because J.H.I. was carving up this team, the Falcons, for a second game this season. 18 touches for 98 yards, but the key here is they're very reluctant still to give him the ball near the goal line. You saw LeGarrette Blount on the early downs there. You saw Corey Clement come in as well. So this is not a good situation for Ajayi going forward beyond this year. And obviously right away against a very tough Minnesota run defense coming in the NFC Championship game. So that's something to keep in mind. I think this is still going to be a committee type situation here. They didn't fully commit to Ajayi the way they should have, and we saw the production was off the charts. So that was a little bit inexplicable in this game. They might have scored a little bit more, pulled away. But Corey Clement not going anywhere is that change of pace third down. Blount not going anywhere in power rushing situations. Really, Blount struggled inside between the tackles near the goal line. 9 carries, 19 yards. Did have a TD. Ajayi wasn't that much better. Averaged 3.6 yards per carry, but there's definitely an indication that Ajayi was the better runner, but they're insistent on getting Blount in there. I think Clement's not going to go anywhere because I don't know if you can count on Darren Sproles coming back for another season healthy for the Eagles. So you look at this team, Carson Wentz changes everything. Obviously, when Nick Foles is in there, the upside of everyone is down a little bit. The leading receiver was Alshon Jeffrey, 4 catches for 61 yards on 5 targets, 3 for 32 on 5 targets for Zach Ertz. So a lot of things with Foles, just a lot different from Wentz. You just can't expect a lot of Eagles offense. It didn't come to fruition in this game. You know it's going to be a little bit harder against the Vikings because their defense is a little bit better all around than the Falcons, really a lot better all around. So Eagles, disappointing. You knew they would grind it a little bit. If you had Jake Elliott, you were happy. He missed a short one, but he delivered there consistently for the Eagles. So the kicker is maybe the best way to go. He had 3 for 3 after missing the extra point on field goals, 53 yarders as well. So good day for Elliott, despite that missed PAT in the game. Now on the other side, the Falcons, now it wasn't a great game for any of them either. You had Tevin Coleman, 10 carries, 79 yards. Devontae Freeman, 10 carries, 7 yards. So big difference. Coleman was a lot more effective, But Freeman had the more touches here and did have the touchdown. He had 5 catches for 26 yards. Caught all of his target and a TD there to kind of make up for his production. But overall, still, Coleman was the better player. 11 touches for 93 yards. So when you look at that, pretty close production for those two. When you look at standard PPR, Freeman was a little bit better in this particular week. So we'll have to see going forward as the Falcons are eliminated. What happens with this Freeman-Coleman combination? Are they going to keep Steve Sarkisian? He really struggled with the combination of using these guys properly. Freeman just looked not the same, maybe a little bit banged up from the middle of the season. Coleman just still looks very good here, flashing. And maybe this will be a change where Coleman gets a few more looks here. Freeman has kind of been the 2-to-1 type back, but Coleman's definitely earned the right next year to be a bigger part of this backfield when the Falcons return to work. Now, you look at the receiving core, Julio Jones, big game, but it took him 16 targets to get 9 for 101 yards. Missed on that last play in the end, had a chance for a touchdown earlier, slipped late on that fourth down play and couldn't score there against the Eagles. So frustrating for Jones, for sure. If you played him in DraftKings, you're a little bit happier because of the full point PPR, but definitely a disappointment this one when you thought Jones could really shred the secondary. He did his best, but I think things that are happening up front really limited him, and Matt Ryan as well. 3 sacks of Matt Ryan. They were in his face up the middle all game long. He only had 210 yards and a TD. So we expected this one not to be fantasy great here. Now, Ryan summing up his season, severely disappointing, just coming off that MVP campaign where he really struggled just to get multiple TDs in a game where it seemed like those were old hat and clockwork. So we'll see if there's any offensive changes here. But in the end, that's what cost them, is that they had this big offensive regression at the time where their defense was really rising up the charts. So that had to be very frustrating because I thought the offense was a given from last year, but this shows you the mojo of Kyle Shanahan and what he was able to bring to what the Falcons wanted to do. Now, Locked On Falcons, Locked On Eagles, these are just many of the great shows we have on the network, and whether it's the offseason, which it is now for the Falcons, or if it's a team still in the playoffs, as it is for 4 more teams, the final 4 here with the Eagles moving on, those are your best sources of keeping up with your team every day. It's your personal beat report on the Locked On Network. It's a lot of fun. They're going to keep you informed and entertained, and a lot of good interviews there and insight, and we'll have the Eagles team being at the Senior Bowl in Mobile to bring you some good coverage down there when the Eagles are all in full force to see the draft prospects up close there in Mobile. So just a couple of shows. We got all teams there for you covered on the network. Please check it out and listen and learn and always stay up to date with your team no matter what part of the year it is. Now let's move on to the other game that we had on Saturday in the divisional playoffs, the Patriots hosting the Titans. This was not the close one. Big spread. The Patriots covered it. It was 13.5-14, depending on where you were looking, but they covered 35-14, win by 3 touchdowns. This one, it looked good early for the Titans. They scored the first touchdown of the game, but it was all Patriots from that point forward until the very end there. So the Patriots did all the sandwich scoring in this game. Tom Brady, you did what expected here. You figured he was going to throw for a high volume. This very good Titans run defense, but a very bad and thin secondary, and that's exactly what happened. It was pretty predictable here. That's why I said it was worth paying up for him if you were going to do that in either FanDuel or DraftKings lineups. And you look at 35 for 53, 337 yards, 3 TDs. We kind of expected this, spread around a whole bunch of guys. And the main guy in the middle there to take advantage of the matchup was Danny Amendola, 11 catches, 112 yards on 13 targets. So he was a possession machine in the Julian Edelman vein here with no Edelman. Remember, he's long gone from the season, but they haven't missed him too much offensively with Amendola picking up the slack there. And Rob Gronkowski, solid game as well, 6 catches, 81 yards and a TD on 9 targets. So he got the ball plenty, and the Titans also had a lot of weaknesses in covering backs in the passing game, and the Patriots were all over that. Deion Lewis, 9 catches for 79 yards on top of 15 rushes for 62 yards. A monster game for Lewis, especially in the full point PPR format. He kind of went old school here with no Rex Burkhead in the game. Mike Gillisley also scratched. We thought it could be a little bit more of James White in this one, but he actually had much fewer touches. They really like Lewis now. I mean, you look at the 24 touches for Lewis. White only gets 8, so 3 times as many touches for Lewis, and White only could put together their 40 yards on the ground. The difference was he had the 2 scores that Lewis didn't score, so that really helped White's status here. So Lewis had the big game, but White, in essence, with those 2 scores, kind of matched him there with the production. So interesting to see how that broke down. Brandon Bolden, unfortunately, pilfered a touchdown from both of those guys late in this game. 4 rushes for 27 yards and a TD. So a random Brandon Bolden appearance, but that is totally Patriots in the playoffs. You expect those type of things to happen, to throw a wrinkle at their opponent. Certainly the Lewis and White game plan was executed pretty well. So it's good to know that there's one team out there that you can trust to exploit the other team's weaknesses and avoid their strengths. And you definitely saw that for the most part from the Patriots. Ended up with 101 yards rushing there and the 2 scores, one each from Bolden and White. But really it was a grind, only 3.7 yards per carry. They were much more effective just dinking and dunking in the short passing game. Consider that each catch, the average of 9.6 yards. So really a possession, dink and dunk, get the ball quickly. That's typically what you get from Tom Brady against a Dick LeBeau defense. And you know that was going to hurt Brandon Cooks a little bit as well. 3 for 32 on 9 targets. So the disconnect is still there in these type of games, and there's no reason to force it to him on the backs. And Amendola and Gronkowski are eating in the middle of the field. So I think Cooks will be need a little bit more, but it's a tough matchup coming up against the Jaguars there in the championship. Chris Kogan, 1 catch, 4 yards, but he did score. So you couldn't even get the score from Cooks there either. So definitely frustrating. Now you see Cooks and Hogan getting Jalen Ramsey, A.J. Bowie. I bet there'll be a lot of Jalen Ramsey there on Rob Gronkowski this week. So the Patriots have some issues in trying to figure out what's the best way to attack the Jaguars, because that's easier said than done. And we'll get into what they did against the Steelers. It's a little bit different. I know they give up a lot of points, but you look at the Patriots here in the next round, you expect it's going to be still be putting the ball of Brady a lot. The Jaguars have been better against the run of late, so I don't think Lewis is going to get as free. So I could see a different game plan here where the Patriots didn't just go simple and go to Gronk and try to have Gronk win that Ramsey matchup and maybe move Cooks and Hogan around away so they can get to Aaron Coleman instead of Bouye on the other side. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how the Patriots find some holes there. If it was the Steelers, we'd be a little bit more predictable and knew exactly what they would do to attack their zone defense, underneath routes, all that. But the Jaguars are a whole different animal in terms of defense, and we'll see how that plays out. So could be a good week as everyone's on the Patriots home in the AFC Championship game, maybe to fade them in a much tougher matchup. The Titans, Marcus Mariota came through here pretty well. We thought he'd be solid, not spectacular. That's what he was. 254 yards and a pair of scores. Also added 37 yards rushing there, so he was good. A couple of touchdowns went to Corey Davis, and this is a good sign for Corey Davis as the Titans are eliminated. The breaking news we had on Monday is the fact that Mike Mularkey is out as a head coach. That also probably means Terry Robiskie is out as offensive coordinator. That's really the reason the Titans moved on. They wanted to get an upgrade there and go for more upside in their offense. And I think it makes a whole lot of sense. Mike Mularkey did the best he could, but this exotic smash mouth experiment kind of fell flat. It got a little too conservative and not that interesting. Mariota had to survive 8 sacks in this one because they weren't proactive about throwing the ball. They got into a hole here. After the first touchdown, you would have thought they would throw the ball a little bit more to open up the running game, but that wasn't the case. Derrick Henry, you could tell the Patriots were loading up to stop him, and he was shut down. 12 carries, 28 yards, 3 catches, 21 yards. So that's why the Titans needed to open up. They did it a little bit, but not enough here to stay in the flow with the Patriots. Some early penalties and some calls against them kind of hurt the flow and chances to score early. And then it got out of hand, and then they were forced to throw, and there weren't good results. But Davis, what a bright spot. 2 great catches there for touchdowns. 8 targets at the end of his rookie year. Looking good, looking more like the first-round pick that they drafted him to be. So can't wait to see what Davis can do in year 2 with a new offensive coach and coordinator in there to really help. It could be Josh McDaniels from the other side. So that'd be great news for Davis being the centerpiece of the offense, and obviously good news for Delanie Walker if he chooses to return. He had 3 catches for 49 yards on 6 targets. Rashard Matthews was pretty quiet again, 3 for 27 on 8 targets. So it's really become the Corey Davis show going forward. Eric Decker coming on late, so he's made a case with the 6 catches for 85 yards and 7 targets in the last 2 games. He did score against the Chiefs that he needs to be a part of this offense somewhere in the slot. So Davis and Decker, the keepers, we'll have to see what they do with Matthews going forward. But you think if Walker wants to come back, and especially with McDaniels and they're replacing Mularkey, that he's going to have a role on this team for sure. But in this particular round, disappointing there. You figure Henry is going to be the man in the backfield as well going into next season. DeMarco Murray, it's hard to see the new coaching staff retaining him. He's a little older, worn down, finished the season with an injury. So they got to turn the page completely to Henry. I expect they would get a change of pace back to help Henry. Henry can catch the ball and do really well. But I think you go and get a back to supplement Henry here. So he's not the total workhorse. He's best when he can have the fresh legs and balance somebody else out in this offense. And I think that's exactly what you'll see going forward. We mentioned the Jaguars, and we'll flip the script here to Sunday's games. 45-42, weird Calais Campbell random prediction of this game before. He said they'd win 2-0 or 45-42. Well, the 2-0 didn't happen here, but they'll take it. They're advancing to play the Patriots. Blake Bortles, more dinking and dunking, this time with a little bit more effectiveness, 214 yards and a TD, so still nothing to see there. All the main sources of scoring, still Leonard Fournette, 25 carries, 109 yards. Had the ankle injury that kept him out for a while, but otherwise dominated this game, 25 for 109 with 3 touchdowns. Also had 2 catches for 10 yards, so not a big part of his game, but contributed there. TJ Yeldon, it was a big part of his game. Had a 40-yard catch down the stretch, 3 catches, 57 yards, to also go with 5 rushes for 20 yards and the other rushing TD. So with no Chris Ivory, and we'll see if Ivory is still out. Figure Yeldon is going to be a big part of the game plan along with Fournette against the struggling Patriots run defense, who also struggles with backs out of the backfield. So we'll have to see. They did bottle up and shut down Henry, but I think Fournette is a different kind of beast. It's a better offensive line that stayed healthy throughout the game. The Titans did lose Jack Conklin this game. The Jaguars are coming off a fantastic game with Brandon Linder and those guys up front really dominating the Steelers. So they had 164 yards rushing there. So more like it after that stumble against the Bills. Simplified the offense, kept it going, and you saw the results there. So still not necessarily explosive, but grinding and very complimentary to the defense. Basically the MO of the Jaguars all year. Now the pass game, you expect with low total for Bortles, only at 14 completions. There'd be limited production. Keelan Cole had the big play down off play action, 1 catch for 45 yards, but otherwise, there's a lot of short passes. Ben Koyak with 1 catch for 21, a tight end. Same thing with James O'Shaughnessy, 1 for 19. Tommy Bohannon, the fullback, had the TD catch, 1 for 14. Allen Hurns, 1 for 12. DeeDee Westbrook, 1 for 8. So the only guys that caught multiple passes were Yeldon, Fournette, and Marquise Lee. So I don't expect the Jaguars to deviate much from this plan. I think they could get a little bit more aggressive with Westbrook and Cole, especially downfield against the Patriots. They're going to have to a little bit to open up the running game there against New England. So I think I look at these guys, you know, they can be limited, but I would go Cole more because he's a big play guy. Marquise Lee could see some Stephon Gilmore in coverage while things open up on the other side away from a Gilmore for the Patriots. So I'd expect Cole to be involved. I think Allen Hurns needs to be a little bit more involved. DeeDee Westbrook as well. So I could see a lot more of Westbrook and Cole getting chances for big plays next week. But I think for the most part, the Jaguars are going to stay conservative, easy, simple, because they don't have to do too much. They're going to try to trust their defense. They needed the offense in this one, and they came through just because they dominated so easily on the ground. Now, on the other side of this, you look at the Steelers, and you can't really be disappointed with anything in the production. I mean, you might have faded this game, but that's why I thought Roethlisberger and Brown would be a good pivot from all that, because people would be off this game. 469 yards, 5 TDs, 1 interception. Kind of reverse of what he did last time. He had the 5 picks against the Jaguars in garbage mode, but it took some great plays to do so. You don't care. You'll take it anywhere you can get it, and 469 and 5 is a solid fantasy performance, even a bad reality game for Roethlisberger. If you go diving into it, he did have the pick that led to a touchdown for the Jaguars and a strip sack return for a touchdown against him as well. So in reality, not as good as game, but in fantasy, you'll take it. And with Bell and Antonio Brown making great plays, it just really lifted his day. 16 carries, 67 yards, and a TD for Bell. Came on that lateral, smart lateral by Roethlisberger late in the game there to set him up. So Bell had that. Also 9 catches for 88 yards and another beautiful touchdown there. Martavis Bryant, 2 catches, 78 yards, and a TD there in limited work. Vance McDonald, I mentioned him as a sleeper. 10 catches, 112 yards on 16 targets. So this is maybe some good news for Gronk going forward, but McDonald, I thought, could be an X factor, and he certainly was in this one. I'm seeing a lot of work. Basically, what happened is Eli Rogers got hurt. He was a little bit ineffective. 5 catches for 42 yards, caught all of his targets, but got hurt. And Juju Smith-Schuster, outside of the late touchdown he scored with that time expiring, not really a factor. 3 catches for 5 yards and 5 targets. So they needed to get someone else involved other than Bell and Brown, and Bryant took advantage there on that fourth down. Beautiful play connection between him and Roethlisberger that got the Steelers back in the game. But Brown really stole the show here. 7 catches, 132 yards, 2 spectacular touchdowns on 11 targets. So just amazing what these guys did against a very brutal defense, a defense that was playing very well and tight against them. But Brown and Bell were just better. McDonald took advantage of that as things opened up underneath for him to have that big game. So I mentioned him as a sleeper. He came through if you did go with him. Now, the question is where the Steelers go from here. Well, for starters, Roethlisberger said he's coming back for sure. Now, this doubt about has he lost it, am I quitting, whatever. He is coming back. He's got 2 years left on his contract. I would expect he's going to play those 2 years, and then we'll see what happens from there. But Roethlisberger is going to be around. Bell, we expect to get franchise tagged if he doesn't get a long-term deal. So Bell's going to be around for a longer time, at least for 2018 and more production there. Brown still showed he had no signs of slowing down, came back from a calf injury in fine form in this one. So he probably has a couple more really prime years left as well. So the Killer Bees not breaking up, and we know Juju Smith-Schuster has plenty of upside going into next year as well, and it was good to see Bryant end on a high note. So this offense is going to be fine and productive as we go forward. You can see a few changes around it, but overall, the Killer Bees are going to be the life force of what the Steelers want to do. Now, are you looking for the future stars, the Bells and Browns that can be mega productive in fantasy football? Well, the best way to keep track of those guys, and there's a lot of exciting prospects in this year's NFL Draft, is through Locked On NFL Draft with our host, John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema. They do a great job of breaking down the prospects. They're going to be at the Senior Bowl as well there, so check it out. And Roethlisberger, we know he came from Miami of Ohio, starred big here, but got some guys from big-name schools there, Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen and Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Mason Rudolph. Ton of talent in that first round of the draft. And also a big guy from a smaller school, Josh Allen from Wyoming. A little bit Roethlisberger-like in the draft as well. So the best way to keep up with those guys is listen to Locked On NFL Draft and stay tuned for their reports from the Senior Bowl, which will happen next week between the conference championships and the Pro Bowl. Now, let's close with our game that we had, the thriller. This was just, what a game this was. The Vikings rally to beat the Saints after the Saints almost rallied to beat the Vikings 29-24. And yeah, we'll start backwards here. The last play of the game, Stephon Diggs, that was the most insane thing I've seen. 1 catch to put them into the championship game, 61 yards. We know the Marcus Williams play, but Diggs, this shows you how a bit streaky he can be. He's a big play, boomer bust guy. That was a little bit frustrating with him in fantasy, but man, in reality, he can come through like that with immense talent. That's what he did. 6 catches, 137, 61 on that one play, and that TD. 10 targets to lead the team. Adam Thielen made some spectacular catches. It didn't translate to a lot of production in this one because he's the guy that got Marshawn Lattimore in this one. Diggs actually avoided the Lattimore matchup for most of the game, and that really helped him in this one all the way down to that last play. And really the presence of Thielen taking the attention of Lattimore really helped Diggs for sure in this one. So you look at Diggs making the big play. He had a solid game before then, but really went over the top with that catch. And I thought he was better value than Thielen because of that Lattimore matchup, and that came to fruition. Maybe not as the way we thought or as unexciting as we thought. That was a pretty amazing finish there. So Case Keenum struggled a bit, 318 yards, had a TD, had an interception. So that was the only TD of his game. And the interception was a bit ugly there late as well. So it was not the prettiest game for Case Keenum. That's why I said pay up for Brady, play up for Roethlisberger, and that would have been much better route than trying to go cheap this week. And you look at the running game, 19 for 50 on the ground for Latavius Murray, added two catches for 17 yards, had a score. Jerick McKinnon, 8 carries for 34 yards on TD. So they ran the ball well early, but they went away with it, had some struggles later in the game doing so. But Murray and McKinnon still are going to be a big factor, you would think. And it's the Eagles. I would think Murray is the guy that can wear down the Eagles a little bit more than McKinnon. So I think you're looking at Murray, as we saw here in this game. He had 21 touches to McKinnon's 11. It's probably going to stay the same ratio there as they try to power and push through and try to wear down a very good Eagles front. But either way, I think you have to go look at these wide receivers. Diggs and Thielen have an impact here. Kyle Rudolph was shut down at tight end, 5 catches for 28 yards on 8 targets. So the Eagles have been pretty decent against the tight end. And it was good to see Jarius Wright get involved, give him a third option to open things up for Diggs and Thielen. 3 catches for 56 yards. But I'd expect a whole bunch of Diggs and Thielen because they're good matchup beaters there. If Keenum can move around, he's athleticism and get the ball quickly, get it all downfield for big plays, Diggs and Thielen are going to stay involved in this Vikings offense. Now, you look at the other side for the Saints, 24 points here before they gave up that heartbreaking play. They're on the comeback trail. Drew Brees had a rough first half with those couple of picks, 294 yards, 3 TDs, though in the end had a monster second half. Willie Snead had a chance for a touchdown pass, but it fell short there. Former quarterback at Ball State. And the trick play didn't work, and maybe that came back to haunt the Saints because it came on a 3rd-and-1 play. So, but overall, Brees, we'll have to see. He's a free agent now. There's a lot of talk about whether he's going to stay in New Orleans. He's going to stay in New Orleans. Just a matter of how much and how, but they're going to come up with a deal to keep him in New Orleans. So I know there's some wishful thinking outside of New Orleans that he's going to leave as a free agent, but the Saints are going to take care of him. He expects to be there. He wants to be there and try to take this team a little bit further in the playoffs. So nothing is going to shake up there. But Brees showed you in these last couple games against the Panthers and the Vikings that he's very much a factor. He can take over games when you want with multiple TDs. And sometimes teams are going to focus on Kamara and Ingram, and we saw that back-to-back weeks, the better teams. And you want it to be a little bit of difficulty for the Saints so Brees can produce, and that happened in there. Still, Alvin Kamara got his 11 carries, 43 yards, bottled up there, but 4 catches, 62 yards on TD. They could not cover him here. He didn't play really in the first one, so you look at that, he's going to remain a big factor. What a rookie year for Kamara. I think he'll only build on that and be a very special player. I think he's a top 5 pick in fantasy the way he's used, along with Fournette. 2 good rookie seasons, I think they'll carry over there. And Mark Ingram slowed down near the end of this year. We'll have to watch that. But 10 carries, 25 yards, so clearly the less effective back. 1 catch for 3 yards as well. So Kamara, if you've noticed a little bit, this backfield slowly gone more to Kamara. I know he's supposed to be the change of pace, whatever. This is supposed to be a straight-up committee, whatever. But Kamara, you can tell the Saints want to use him more and more. And remember, this is the rookie season, the end of the rookie season. He can expand and become a more complete back as we go forward. So Ingram, he's still going to be a valuable part of this offense, but I think you're going to see Kamara kind of be the more attractive guy here. So I think there's going to be a clear separation. You want to draft Kamara early in your drafts. I think Ingram, you just have to be wary. I don't think you go too far beyond the late second round with him just because things could change dramatically there. So Kamara, you got to love that he gets it done all the time. Michael Thomas, I know we were a little bit disappointed with him without the scoring that we expected, but massive volume. He's going to have another big year. He's going to be like a first, second round pick in some deeper leagues again next year. He lived up to the year, 7 catches, 85 yards, and 2 TDs, 13 targets. So clearly the number one. He learned how to be the number one and got better since he went on without Brandon Cooks on the other side. So I think Thomas, just a great receiver, catches everything thrown his way. I think he's going to get better and better. He's becoming the red zone beast we all thought he would be as well. So going forward, this is great. Ted Ginn Jr., solid year, 8 catches, 72 yards here on 11 targets. So good year for Ginn. He had a touchdown there that was called back because of a penalty there that was nulled. So you look at Ginn, I think they'll want to keep him around because you look at the Diggs and Thielen, I think Ginn and Thomas were kind of similar type receivers for this team. I think Thielen didn't score as much as Thomas, but you look at Ginn, I think the Saints will want him as a bargain price. I could see now with Brandon Coleman as a slot guy and Willie Snead, maybe they'll change things up, but Ginn is clearly the outside deep threat. Number two, maybe they'll go younger there and find a different type of receiver, but right now, Thomas and Ginn, they like, and the results there figure to continue. One guy we're going to be intrigued about next year is Josh Hill. Are they getting more of an opportunity at a good game against the Panthers? Another good game here, 3 catches, 54 yards, and 6 targets. So he'll be a guy that we're going to watch. He definitely has some upside. He's a good athlete. They've missed the tight end. We'll see Kobe Fleener with his concussion issues. If he's going to be the guy that they're even going to think about or rely upon in the passing game at that position. So Josh Hill could be a bigger factor as well in this attack for Saints next year. But I think you can expect everything to stay intact, and that's good. You know what to get from what these guys are going to give you in Sean Payton's offense. So that's always good to have something reliable going into the 2018 season when there's always a lot of change, and I expect the Vikings to have some change here with Pat Shurmur leaving, maybe Case Keenum leaving, and we know Dalvin Cook is going to return there to take over the backfield from Murray and McKinnon. So there's going to be a lot of different things, I think, from the Vikings where I think the Saints are going to be rather intact for 2018. So there you have it. There's your new edition of Locked On Fantasy Football, breaking down these games, kind of looking forward to what's going to happen the offseason to the teams that are eliminated, what's going to happen with the teams that advanced here in the next round. So should be a great one. We'll break down these games later this week. The two championship games should be great ones. The Eagles hosting the Vikings and the Patriots hosting the Jaguars. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. Follow me on Twitter @VinnyIyer. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next time.